It will. The new discipleship will cover some of the material that Pastor Chapel covers in the starting point class, yes. By the way, the new discipleship that we're using now is great. I've gone through the discipleship with the other one, Daily in the Word, and it was good. But sometimes it was even hard for me. And because, you know, sometimes we just think we're going to go to the Bible and find the word and fill in the blank. It wasn't that way at all. But and it had many good points to it. But we hear it, and we got that from another person, though it's not in the ministry here. And it was great. It worked for many years. But now some of the people in our ministry have gone through, and it is great. It's not that it's easier, but it is easier. But it's not that it's just better. So anyway, it's great. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Uh-huh. If they go into the new one, yes. I would say go into the to finish up with them with the old, but then have them do when they disciple someone. Yes. Yes. I've looked at it. It's really good. That's a very good question. Anybody else have a question? Well, let's see what time it is. I'm a very time. It's 1:30. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, nice to have you here, ladies. And feels cool in here, doesn't it? So my name is Rita Weaver. I've been a teacher here at West Coast since January 2002. I've been married next month, 45 years. We have two grown sons who are in the ministry, and we have 7 grandchildren. And my husband and I have had the privilege of being in the ministry the 45 years that we've been married. And we've done several different things. For 6 years, we worked with music and youth. I'm glad I'm not a youth director's wife anymore. Those lock-ins and all those, you know, things. But anyway, we loved it when we did it. Then we worked in another Bible college for 13 years. And then I taught in a Christian high school and was a pastor secretary for 7 years. And then here at West Coast, I was the dean of women for 11 years. And now, the last 2 years, I've just been a full-time teacher, and I'm enjoying that. And the Lord has been so good to us. So from age 20 to now, my age 65, I've enjoyed many seasons of life, so many seasons of health. And yet we've also experienced some seasons of sickness. My husband had cancer a few years ago. And, you know, once you have cancer, you sort of always look over your shoulder when it's coming back. And so that has totally changed our lives. But it's been for good, because we just think about the Lord more now, because you need help going through something like that. We've enjoyed many seasons of smooth times in ministry. By the way, I forgot to say I was a pastor's wife for 4 years. I forgot to say that. That was my favorite job. I knew something was missing with what I was saying, but anyway, there it is. But we've also experienced times of trouble in ministry. Everybody does. There's no one that has a perfect ministry. There's no perfect scenario. And then we've enjoyed many seasons of mountaintops, and we have gone through and experienced lots of valleys, just like you have. And so thus the title of this session is Embracing the Seasons and Transitions of Ministry Life. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we know that you're here with us, and thank you so much. And I pray that you will direct me and be with our time. May this session be a blessing to the ladies who have chosen to come in here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, some of you have been in the same ministry for a long time, and I think that would be neat. We've moved around a few times, but some of you have gone in the same ministry. However, even in that ministry, if you've been there for a long time, you've had several transitions even in that, all right? Then some of you have involved in several different ministries, and there's, you know, that definitely involves transitions. Some of you are young, I see some, and then some of us are older, and we've gone through several seasons of life. Some of you have young children. There was a lady in here a while ago with a little baby. She may have slipped out. Some of you have teenagers. The Lord bless thee. No, just kidding. And some of us are empty nesters. But, you know, one of my goals here at West Coast Baptist College, as I teach the girls, is to model the fact that being in the ministry is wonderful. I love it. Has it always been perfect? No. Has it always been smooth? Oh, no. But I love the fact that God has let us be in ministry the whole time that we have been married. And, of course, we have regrets, as everyone does. But we have no regrets about making the decision to be in full-time ministry. So I hope that our first word on this topic is embracing. Hope you embrace it. You know, when you embrace somebody, it's love, it's sweet, it's happy. Embracing the seasons and transitions of ministry. You know, when I think of the word embracing, I think of having a good attitude about it, right? You embrace something, have a good attitude. I think of the word enjoy. If you're embracing someone, you're enjoying the moment. When I think of the word embracing, of course, I think of the word love. Love what you're doing in the ministry. And as I said a while ago, no one has a perfect scenario. But attitude is everything, isn't it? We hear that. But in ministry life, attitude is everything. Because attitude, our attitude, affects the atmosphere around us. And we set the mood of the home and a lot of times of the church even. And then attitude determines altitude, how high we go, you know, in experiencing victories. So I love the verse in the Bible, Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. No one, I don't think, would rejoice in having cancer or having trouble in your church. But I'm so glad that the Bible doesn't say that particularly. It says rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. So even though we go through seasons and transitions in life, we can still rejoice in the Lord because He is there with us. So what I've done is I've made an acrostic of the two main words I'm going to talk about. One is embracing, and then one is transitions. And there's a couple of letters, and you don't know which ones there are yet, but at the end, I'm going to have you help me and see if you can think of a word that would have to do with embracing the seasons and transitions of marriage. So let's jump right into it, and let's begin with the letter E. And you won't be writing down a whole bunch of things, just maybe one word or two, and then a verse that would go along with it. So on the E, I think of expectations. Expectations, so important. We must give all our expectations to God. Psalm 62:5, the Bible says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." In ministry, ladies, we can't expect our church to give us a big anniversary party. If we expect it, we're setting ourselves up for a possible disappointment. We're going to expect that they're going to do this for our children. No. That all of our expectations should be in God. And that is so important. My husband often says this, if we don't expect anything, then anything that comes is bonus. And so give all of our expectations to God. Another E is the word example. Others are watching us, and especially our loved ones, our family. You know, the greatest ministry we have a lot of times is our example to our children. Did you know that? My mother was a pastor's wife, and my daddy always pastored small churches. But she gave the example to all six of us children that ministry was wonderful. Is it any wonder that all six of us are in full-time ministry today? She modeled and was an example of enjoying the ministry. I can remember times when my mom and dad be whispering about things, and now that I look back on it, they were whispering about trouble in the church, you know. But then I'm telling you what, she never said, "Get ready, time to get ready, kids, let's go to church." It was always with a lift in her voice, "Time to get ready," you know. And she modeled an example of embracing being a good example in the ministry. I think of another word that begins with E, and that's the word enjoy, sort of a repetition. But enjoy each season of life, young, old, good place, hard place. Enjoy each ministry opportunity. And you know what, ladies, we just need to make a decision to enjoy. You just have to decide to enjoy. Ministry is not easy for anyone. And if you think it is, Mrs. Chapel has all this around here. Can you believe it? Would we ever think that? With all these ladies, ministry is not easy for anyone because ministry is people work. And to work with people, it changes all the time. It's different. But let's choose to enjoy. Let's let one of our E's be enjoy. Then let's go to M. The word that came to my mind was the word meditate. Psalm 1:2. But his delight, and of course verse 1 says, blessed is the man. So a person who's happy, his delight must be in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. So, ladies, we need to meditate on the word of God. You know, you turn the TV on and you want to just watch one program before you know you've watched two, before you know you've watched three. We need to meditate on God's word. That will help us to embrace the seasons and transitions of ministry. Then let's go to the letter B. I thought of the word balance. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1-8, I believe, exemplifies the balance that we should have in ministry. The Bible says there's a time to plant and there's a time to pluck up. There's a time to break down. There's a time to build up. There's a time to weep. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to dance. There's a time to embrace, and there's a time to embrace, refrain from embracing. There's a time to get, and there's a time to lose. There's a time to keep silent, and there's a time to speak. Balance. We must have balance if we want to embrace the seasons and transitions of ministry life. Balance. I thought of another B, and it's the word beware of jealousy and bitterness. Ephesians 4:31. And you know, in working in a church, especially if there's a staff there, you have to be, and Pastor Chapel reminds this often, don't ever think, well, so-and-so gets to do this with Pastor, why don't I? That'll kill us, and that'll keep us from embracing what's happening in marriage, in ministry. So beware of jealousy and bitterness. The Bible says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So be for beware. Then R, how about the word rest? Matthew 11:28, the Bible says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so if we rest in the Lord, we don't have all the answers, do we? Oh my goodness, no. So we must rest in the Lord. And then I think of the practical rest. One pastor's wife used to tell all of us at another Bible college, ladies, you must listen to your bodies. She said, if you need to take a nap, take a nap. Now, you don't want to, you know, that's no excuse for laziness. But, you know, we do need rest. We can't go as much as a man can. And so we're not superwoman. So when I think of R, I do think of resting in the Lord, but I do think of a practical rest also. Another R would be refrain your lips. Oh, my goodness, do we need to hear this? There's so many verses in Proverbs. I think of one, Proverbs 10, verse 19. He that refraineth his lips is wise. A lot of us, me included, talk too much. We can be a motor mouth, and then we get to talking the wrong things. And so I don't know. It may help us to refrain our lips, as the Bible says. Then A, I thought of the word admonish. Colossians 3:16, the Bible says this, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs will help us. Refuse self-pity. I love to play music in our home, not herky-jerky music, but calm music. I love Rachel Garcia's piano CD on Be Thou My Vision, but it just calms you. But admonish yourself. You know what? I believe it's in 1 Samuel, where David was away from home. He wasn't able to attend the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem because he was running from his life, running for his life from King Saul and also from one of his family members, Absalom. And he was away from his wife, so she could not comfort him. So you know what he did? He encouraged himself in the Lord. And I tell you what, that's an admonition. Sometimes we need to talk straight to ourselves and say, look, I've got to get a hold of myself. And I need to just admonish myself in the Lord. Just do the right thing, Rita. Do the right thing. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Thank the Lord for friends who can encourage us and conferences that can encourage us. But sometimes we're by ourselves and we're in a pickle. And we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. So admonish yourself. Then for C, I thought of the word circumspect. I pictured a cat walking on a fence with two yelping dogs on either side trying to get him. Boy, he is being circumspect, isn't he? He's walking very carefully. Now, I think we need to do this ourselves. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, the Bible says we should walk diligently, carefully, with sharp awareness. This is a paraphrase of it, to what is happening around us. We should be sensitive to those around us. Ever diligent in forsaking evil. Be circumspect. Refuse gossip. Keep our tongue in check. Ask God for proper perspectives on different transitions in our life. After all, none of the transitions and seasons are a surprise to the Lord, are they? He has allowed these things to come into our life for our betterment and His glory. So let's be wide awake. I tell the girls at the college, don't pride yourself in being a dumb buddy. Learn all that you can. Learn all that you can. And so as we are in ministry life, let's use the word circumspect. I have another C is close your mouth. And of course, if God says something one time, it's very important. But if He says something two, three, four, hundreds of times in the book of Proverbs. It's something we need to hear. And so Proverbs 21:23, the Bible says, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." So we need to be very careful about that. Another C was mentioned this morning, and it's the word countenance. One of the most important things that we wear, ladies, is our countenance. And not that we paste on a smile, but it's just that we be joyful and thankful. Didn't he talk about that this morning, Brother Gibbs? And so our countenance is so important. I, unfortunately, have this natural frown right here. Oh, my goodness. And I, wait, one of our ministries, I played the piano. There was a modesty rail, and so the audience could only see me from the neck up. And so one thing, okay, finally one of the deacons, Bud Dodd, came and said, "Miss Rita, what are you so mad about at the piano? I said, "Oh, my God, I'm not mad." He said, "Well, you always have this frown on your face." I said, "Oh, no." And I almost have to put my eyebrows up to get it to go away. But, you know, I need to, sometimes when I was dean of women, a couple of the girls would say, "Miss Weaver, I don't think you like me." I said, "Why?" "Well, you're frowning." I said, "Oh, sorry. I love you." You know, but our countenance is so important, isn't it? So important. Then the eye. This is a different word, but I wrote the word down, intelligent. And the verse for this is 2 Timothy chapter 2:15. The Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You know, just because we are a church leader's wife, did you know that many will assume that we know the Bible? So therefore, we better know the Bible. Study it. And rightly divide the word of truth. And let that be a challenge to us. If they assume, I tell the college girls, just because you go to even one semester of West Coast, there are going to be people back at your home church who will assume that you know the Bible. So we better know the Bible. I thought of another I, and that is the word integrity. You know, integrity, a definition I've heard before that I always use, is to do right when we feel that no one is watching us. Integrity is do right when we feel no one's watching us. You know, to be honest with you, ladies, we already have too many ministry moral failures, don't we? It's enough. My husband and I travel all in the summer and all of January and all of summer, 13 weeks. And it is amazing of people even we've taught in Bible college, and we go to their church years later and there's a moral failure and we think, "Oh, what is happening?" Ladies, we need to have integrity as a ministry wife, in the ministry. So I think now of the letter N. I wrote down the word necessary. You know, when faced with a sudden shock or a sudden grief or a traumatic event, of course we should first cry out to God and ask him to direct us to the next necessary thing and to protect us from all that would hinder us. Always get busy with the next thing. There's always some necessary things that need to be done. Yes, we can weep our tears. Oh, yes. And not be ashamed. But refuse to wallow in self-pity. Get busy doing the next thing. Is there laundry to do? Is there a kitchen to tidy? Are there children's clothes to be put away? Is there a floor to vacuum? If so, do what needs to be done. Are there notes to write, bills to pay, contacts to be made? Ask God for strength, comfort, and wisdom to get to it. After traumatic events in our church or in our family, grief cannot be avoided and it cannot be skipped. It is part of life. And God made us to know sorrow, grief, hurt, pain, and frustration. But Psalm 23 says this, that we can walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Life goes on. Of course we have problems. That's life. I tell the college girls this all the time. Life is tough and life is unfair. But that's life. And so we must remember, do the necessary thing. The necessary thing, and the Lord will help us. And of course, the necessary thing is to pray when things are happening. That's a necessary thing. And then also to remember this, too will pass. All of us have been in times of turmoil. And if we can just keep on our mind, this too will pass. And keep going, keep embracing the seasons and transitions of ministry life, because people are watching us, our family's watching us, and all these things we've talked about. I think of another N, and that's the word needful. And I'm reminded of the story of Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 and through 42. Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful. You're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful." Jesus was talking about sitting at his feet. We all need to be enrolled in the College of the Feet. sit at Jesus' feet. Lord, help me. Show me what to say. Show me what to do. Sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to his words, talking to him, worshiping him, resting within his shadow. This is what is needful. That's what Jesus said. Martha, there's one thing that is needful. And so we should do this. Not running hither and yon, flying from duty to duty, helter-skelter, saying yes to everybody who asks something of you to the point of not having no time for your husband and your children and your own spiritual walk with the Lord. One thing is needful. Sit at Jesus' feet. Ask God to direct your activities, your service, and your path. And you know what, ladies? He will. He will. Then I thought of another end. Never give up. Never give up. There are people there quitting the ministry, and it's sad. And that's different from retiring, but don't give up. Well, I just can't do it anymore. Let's be careful about ever giving up. Then the letter is G, and this verse was mentioned this morning in the sessions, the word grateful, and the verse is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. Why? For this change, this circumstance, this sorrow, this pain, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so in everything, give thanks. An attitude of thanksgiving is essential for our Christian growth toward maturity. It also helps guard our hearts and minds against anxiety and fear, a critical spirit, and other negative spirits that deter us and hinder us. Keep a gratitude journal. Now, on tour, we sell Pastor Chapel's. It's not really leather, but it feels like it. It's called the Spiritual Journal. I think that's what it's called. But in that, it's you do your devotions every day with it. And one of the places, it makes you write down every day three things for which you're thankful. And if we do that, be grateful. If we do that every day at the end of a year, you'll have over 1,000 things for which we're grateful. I came across this book called 1,000 Gifts, and that's sort of what it is. And it's just little things. You know, thank God for this cup of coffee, if you're a coffee drinker. But thanking God for things. And this is written by Anne Voskamp. I don't know how do you say that name, but that's a great book. But be grateful. I think of another G, and that is gracious. And I need help with this. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 31:26, the law of kindness should be in our tongues, to be gracious. I love many things about Mrs. Chapel, but one of them is she is gracious. Even her spirit, her speech. Dottie Lancaster is one of the most gracious ladies in the whole wide world. And so let's be gracious. So those are some words I thought about in embracing. Now let's go on the back to the word transitions. You know, sometimes we have ministry location changes. Sometimes we have different transitions within the ministry. I used to be a youth pastor's wife, and now you're the pastor's wife or whatever. Changes in the atmosphere of the church, and that happens all the time. Things are going smoothly, then, wow, the devil raises his ugly head and something happens. Changes in our health, changes in our family. And so let's talk about transitions. On the T, I thought about the word trusting. That would be Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. The Bible says, let's see, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And in all thy ways acknowledge him, Lord Jesus, and he will direct thy paths. Now that says it all, doesn't it? In trusting in the Lord. And that's so important when we go through transitions in ministry life to trust the Lord. Another T, I thought of the word thoughts. The Bible says in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, the Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, here's what sometimes we do. We think negative thoughts. If my husband just didn't do that, and if this lady would quit doing that, we think these negative thoughts. And you know what? If we think of them long enough, we'll be shocked someday it'll come out of our mouth. How many times has that happened to all of us? So we need to be very careful in guarding our thoughts. So important. On R, I thought about rejoice, and I mentioned this a while ago, Philippians 4, 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Another R is a verb, reject negativism. Reject it. Philippians 2, 14 and 15, the Bible says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may shine as lights in the world. And I'm in the nursery tonight on the last night of the conference when all the kids are tired. And I do love to serve the Lord, but the nursery is my least favorite. Okay, I'm telling you a secret. But I've got to be careful about that. I've got to reject this negativism, you know? And so we got to think about it. Why? Because I want, there's going to be other ladies in there. I'm not going to be the only lady in the nursery tonight. There'll be lots of them. And so reject negativism. I think of another R, remember God's promises. Remember God's promises. There's so many. That's one thing you can do in your devotions. If someday you find out, what should I do in my devotions? Write down all the promises in the Bible. And you might find that there's a condition to that promise in front of it. Like, he will direct our paths if we trust in the Lord with all our heart, lean not to our own understanding, and acknowledge him. But remember God's promises. Then under A, I thought of the word authentic. Can you spell it? Authentic. Which means be real. Romans 12:9. The Bible says, let love be without dissimulation. Ladies, we say we love the Lord. Do we truly love the Lord? Let's be real about it. We are in the ministry. Now remember, ministry is people. Do we love the people? Well, they're not perfect. I know they're not perfect. We're not perfect either. But we better be authentic, or people can pick up on that. Be real. And just, is that be fake? Oh, no, just learn to be real. Love the ministry. Love the people. Love the things that are happening. Not that you enjoy church splits and all that, but just be real that you love the Lord and you want to serve the Lord. Another A I thought about was abstain from all appearance of evil. And to me, as ministry wives, I think the word appearance is very important, because none of us would be stupid enough to do evil. But we are to avoid the appearance of evil. It was sort of mentioned this morning where so many people are changing their convictions on what they thought was wrong. Like, I hate to mention things, but the theater, social drinking. It's shocking. When we go around the country, it's amazing how many young preachers are thinking that social drinking is okay. Really? What in the world? Where did that come from? And dress, I'd say it, but it's amazing. But, oh boy, the Bible says abstain from all appearance of evil. And there are people watching us. And you know what? That's okay. We're all watching the politicians. And, buddy, if they mess up, everybody writes about it. We watch all these athletes that are getting all these millions of dollars. We watch them. Well, you know what? And you can't fuss about it. It's just a matter of life. Ladies, we're watched being in the ministry. But you know what? That's fine. We're not perfect. And if we make a mistake, let's learn from it and pick our, let's see, boots up from the bootstrap, or however you say that, pick whatever, and go on, you know? But let's be careful. Even the Apostle Paul said, you know, I don't know exactly what it was. Some people were saying something about them eating some kind of meats difference. And Paul said, you know what? I'll settle it. If that is really offending you, I just will abstain from eating that. He was willing to do that. And yet some of us want to say, we can do what I want to do. I can dress the way I want to dress. And it's fine, you know. Be careful. Brother Gibbs travels around and he's seeing a desensitizing going on among church people, church leaders. Let's be careful. Let's abstain from even the appearance of evil. And that'll help us so much. Then the letter N, I wrote the word nurture. N-U-R-T-U-R-E, nurture. You know, during difficult times, struggles, it's important for us to nurture our spirits. How do we do that? Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are true and just and honest and pure and lovely, and of good report, think on those things. There are lots of garbage things we can think about. Well, look what they did, and look what how they... Oh, my, if we think about that, it dominates our thinking, and our shoulders get further down, and we say, what's the use? But we must nurture ourselves. When facing adversity, attack, and trouble, we are tempted to replay conversations, don't we? We replay events. We replay situations over and over in our minds. We ponder. We wonder. We think of a million what-ifs. What if this? Or what if this? And those things plague our minds. They weigh us down. Let's ask God for protection from these mental snares. And let's meditate on the things that are true and good and honest and a good report. Let's refuse negative thought patterns. Let's make a concentrated effort to think on things that are beautiful. And you know, beautiful, soft, sweet music about the Lord can help us. The other day, where were we? I forget. We're on tour this summer. And, I was at my sister's house. And she was going to read her Bible for a few minutes. And she turned on a CD. This is not my sister, Mrs. Rasmussen. It's another sister that lives in Georgia. But anyway, I was reading my Bible too. And you know what? Before I knew it, I was singing along with the words instead of looking at the Bible. So I like to read my Bible in silence. But cleaning the house, serving a meal, having a company in our house, playing beautiful music, or when I'm in the house, it just helps me. That helps nurture me. Take a walk. Look around at the sky, the fields, the trees. Oh, we don't have many trees around here. Look at the sunlight on the side of the building. Look at the steam curling up from your coffee. Look at the face of a sleeping child. Look at the hands of your husband as he reads the Bible to you. I don't know. Anything that is good and pure and peaceable and easy to be entreated. I'll never forget picking up Mrs. John Rice one time long years ago. I was taking her to a hotel where she was going to be speaking. When I pulled up in the parking lot, I ran around to open her door, and somebody had dumped a bunch of oil, or maybe it was some oil that had fallen from a car. I don't know. But anyway, here's a big puddle of oil. I said, "Oh, Miss Rice, I'm so sorry. I can't believe somebody did that." This is what Mrs. John R. Rice said. "Oh, look at the beautiful colors of that oil and the way that sun is shining on." Well, before I knew it, I was saying, "Oh, yeah, look," you know. But, oh, my goodness, let's nurture our spirits. There's so many negative things that we can think about that weigh us down. Then for S, I thought of sanctify yourself. You know, I thought of this hymn. Listen to this hymn. Take time to be holy. That's what sanctification is. Separating from things that are wrong and separating ourselves from the things that are good, okay? So take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Wow, that's how we can sanctify ourselves. A verse of scripture for this is 1 Thessalonians 4:4. The Bible says, "Possess your vessel," that's our body, "in sanctification and honor, not in lust, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but he hath called us into holiness." And, you know, to be holy, you don't have to go around with the family Bible saying, "Holy, holy, holy," you know. But to be holy is to think about the Lord and to try to please the Lord. If we harbor things that we know are hindering in our walk with Christ and in our marriage and in our family life, among co-workers on the church staff, we are insisting on disobedience and God will chasten us. Also, the Bible says it this way, when we regard iniquity in our hearts, when we know it's there and we don't take care of it, God will not hear us. Oh my, we need God to hear us, don't we? And so we must be careful to sanctify ourselves. Then I is initiate. I-N-I-T-I-A-T-E. Wow, what a spelling. Initiate. I thought about this. Initiate kindness. I mean, there are some porcupine prickly people in every church, right? Well, yes. If you're looking for the perfect church, don't go there because we'll ruin it, you know? But let's initiate kindness. The law of kindness should be in our tongue. Proverbs 31:26. Let's initiate love. There are some people that are not lovable. But let's initiate love. Someone mentioned it in one of the sessions. Matthew 5:44, love your enemies. Wow. It's easy to love a friend. But initiate love. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. I sort of wish that verse wasn't in the Bible. But it is. And so we need to initiate love, initiate kindness. Then what about this one? Initiate forgiveness. Now, when a forgiveness is needed, that means someone's done something wrong, right? And so we don't want to forgive them. But the Bible says in Ephesians 4:31-32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So I believe we should initiate forgiveness. All right? Then under T, I had a hard time with T, so maybe want to think if you can think of a T in a minute. But one would be trust your husband. I know we know to trust the Lord, okay? But, you know, trust your husband. He will not always make all the right decisions. And we can help him. We're the help meet, you know, and we can give our input. But there needs to come a time where we're going to trust him if we're going to embrace the seasons and transitions of ministry life. So maybe you can think of a T in just a minute. How about I? I thought about insight, I-N-S-I-G-H-T, insight from older women. Titus 2:3. You know, be very careful, young ministry ladies, that you and your husband don't just look at the younger pastors all around the country and what they think about things. Rehoboam did that in the Bible. He asked advice of his own age group, and he made bad mistakes. He neglected the wisdom of the older people. So get insight from people older than you, people who've been in the ministry longer than you. That's exactly what Pastor Chappell does. And it helps his ministry. Pastor Chappell knows a lot, but he has some older people, Brother Sisk being one. He runs things by Brother Sisk. What do you think about this, you know? So we should get insight from older women. And then I thought of another I. It's a God thing. I mean, that's a funny I, it. But it's a God thing. You know, our ministry belongs to the Lord. It is by the Lord, it is through the Lord, and it's because of the Lord. At no time is it about us. And when we think, it's my people, I know when people say, my ladies, and that's okay to say that, just as long as you know it's a God thing, okay? Because it's all a God thing. Yes, God uses us, but it's a God thing. For O, I thought of the word obedience. Deuteronomy 4:30-31, the Bible says, If thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, he will not forsake thee, nor destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto them. Aren't those great verses? If we'll be obedient to the Lord, he will help us. And that is encouraging. John 14:5, the Bible says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. It's as simple as that, and it's as difficult as that. Obey the Lord. Obedience. I cannot think of an N, so I'll come back to that in a minute, okay? And there's no S on transition, is there not? But you know what? Will you write one down for me? Satisfaction. I heard it this morning in the session. Let's be satisfied with what we have. My husband says this all the time to the college kids. Let simple things make you happy. Let simple things make you happy. And I tell the girls this, want, W-A-N-T, want what you have. If you have enough money to go buy a new dress and your bills are paid already, go buy a new one. But you know what? A lot of us need to want what we have and be satisfied with it. Be satisfied with your church where God has put you. Be satisfied with your pastor if you're just a lady in here. Be satisfied with your staff. Be satisfied with your house. You know, satisfaction. I think that will help us to embrace the seasons and transitions of ministry. I do have two closing paragraphs to read in just a moment, but is there anyone who can think of another T? Yes. Transform. Be transformed. Romans 12, verse 2. Yes, that is a great word. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I tell the college girls here, you know, we have rules here as every place has rules. Even McDonald's has rules about what you can and cannot do. And so we want them to conform while they're here so that they won't get in trouble. But our prayer as leaders here at the West Coast Baptist College is that they will be transformed. That they will think, these are smart people who made these rules. Brother Getch, who's smarter than him? He writes all the rules in the rule book. And so you know what? If he thinks it's important that I do that, or if he thinks it's important I should not do that, I should just say, okay, I'll change my mind about that. Transformed. Be transformed. That is good. Anybody else have a T? Mrs. Keck. Truth. Yes. 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 That is a great, boy, you can go off in all kind of directions on that word truth, but wow. Mrs. Keck's been a missionary all these years. What a great word for T. Anybody else have another T? Yes. Amy's mama. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. You lost your husband a few years ago, or a few months. How long was it? 6 weeks ago. Oh, my goodness. And you have some children that are blessing your heart. But you know what? Your sweetheart is not here anymore. He's in heaven. But turn your eyes upon Jesus, and what a blessing you are to me, lady. Wow. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. That's a good one. Well, let's go to the letter N. Anybody think of an N? Yes, ma'am. Not deceived. Don't be deceived by the devil. Let's not be deceived when we hear of other people changing their convictions and the way they think about things. Don't be deceived about that. Were you thinking of it in another direction? Don't be deceived. Not deceived, okay? Anybody else think of another N? Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yeah. Okay. You know, and I don't like the word nonchalant. Nonchalant is like this, just whatever. Wait a minute. And I know we need to have that attitude about some things. Don't let the life get you down. But we need to know what we believe and believe it and stick upon it. Teach others. Yes. Don't just be a nonchalant bump on a pickle ministry leader's wife. You know, know what you believe. Be sweet about it. And, yeah. Good. Thank you. I think I saw another hand. Yes. New. What are you thinking about? Embrace the new. Don't be afraid of change. Yes. 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 As long as it aligns up with the Word of God. Pastor Chappell reminds us of this always. A growing church is always in transition. If you just want the status quo, is everything to be the same? No, no, no. It's probably stagnant. But a growing church is always in transition, so that means there's new things. Now, of course, we stick with the Bible, and I know that's what you mean. But yes, there are new things that can come along. Yes. All right, well, let me read these last two paragraphs for you. As we think about all these words for the word embracing and the word transitions, don't lose the main focus of embracing transitions. Let's face it. The last thing we feel like doing, listen to this, is embracing a church split, marriage infidelity, rebellious children, a terminal illness, the death of a child maybe, the death of a spouse, pornography, adultery, homosexuality, child molestations. But listen to this, all of these things happen to people in the ministry, as you well know. And even though they are not what many of us would consider a transition in ministry, all of these things happen to families that are in the ministry. They do. The longer you live, the more you hear about different things that are happening. And many times, the things that I just listed about will bring sudden changes in ministry. And many times, the thing, even indirectly. But God knows about all these things, of course. He is able, listen to this, to heal, to reconcile, and he is able to help us forgive. I believe to act like these things do not happen, everything's fine, is to deny the truth and refuse to address the elephant in the room. Seasons and transitions of ministry are painful, embarrassing, traumatizing, and cannot be trivialized. So when we think of the word transitions, let's remember that it is also a God thing to bring change into our lives, because he knows that it is through change and transitions and sudden difficult events through which we grow, we mature, and return our focus to him. Now, my husband had this cancer in his neck. I want to tell you one thing. I prayed a lot during that time. That brought our focus back to God and changes that happen. You know, you've got to rely on God, because we can't change other people. We can't change prickly people in the ministry. But if it puts our focus back on God, realizing that sudden changes in our ministries are God's hands working to mold us, can really help us stop struggling, banging our heads against innumerable walls, and battling unforgiveness and bitterness. Often, ministry transitions involve ornery, angry, hot-tempered church people who attack, who malign, and who ruin. But we must realize that these individuals, as wrong as they are still instruments in God's hands. We must simply do what the choir said the other night when Brian Sams was reading that. We must trust him. All these things that Brian Sam listed, and the bottom line was, and we can trust him. We can trust him. So we've got to put our focus back on the Lord. Ladies, are you willing to punch the reset button as I am today? I haven't learned everything. I'm not perfect. But at age 65 and been in the ministry almost 45 years, I would like to embrace the seasons and transitions of ministry life to honor the Lord, to bring security to my own children, and to be a blessing to others. Would you? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us, even though you know all about us. Oh, my goodness, we can all put the good face forward. You know how we are, and yet you love us. And yet, Lord, we want to be a good testimony to people around us, to our own family. To you, Lord, we want to honor you. So help us, Heavenly Father, to embrace the seasons and transitions in ministry life. Thank you for the privilege of being in the ministry. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. You are dismissed.